participate in the Lord's table today. It's always a joyous event to be able to do that and to be able to spend a little time thinking once again about what he did for us and the fact that he is coming back. To do that, we're going to do a song called Above All, because this little baby that came into the world was still above all. Kings, powers, thrones, dominions, above all. It's a beautiful song to talk about who he is. So please stand and join me as we sing about our Savior, above all. The cake of the Lord's table is an amazing blessing. We look back at the Mosaic Law, and it becomes real clear nobody could keep it perfectly at all. Only Jesus did. There's a command that's given Deuteronomy 6:4 called the Shema. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you shall love your neighbors yourself." The key there is the word all. Because somewhere along the line, we all goof up. And we don't love him with all of our heart and our soul and our strength. This renders us all lost. See, when Jesus came, he came perfectly. Born of a virgin, no sin nature, no sin of Adam, passed on. He was perfect when he was born. Now, that's hard to imagine, but it's not a big deal for God to bring about a virgin birth. That's a small miracle in comparison to creating the heavens and the earth and some of the other things that he did. Just a small thing that he did, but he did it. What to me is amazing is this man named Jesus lived a perfect life for around 33 years. And it was a life that was tested by his friends, his family, his countrymen, even by the devil himself. And he couldn't get him to make a wrong decision. Now that is so beautiful to us, because when John the Baptizer came, he knew what to look for. And when Jesus, his cousin, showed up 6 months Jesus was born 6 months later. When Jesus' cousin showed up while John was baptizing, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John knew who he was. John was a prophet. And the people knew that he was a prophet. They didn't quite figure it out. And they wanted somebody to throw out the Romans. But Jesus came to take care of a much bigger problem than the Romans. To take care of the problem of sin and death. And that's what he did. That's what he chose to do. To do that, he lived a perfect life. But when John called him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he takes us right away to the Levitical offerings that those people knew about, standing on the banks of the Jordan River being baptized. They knew about all those animal sacrifices that were being offered and been offered for 1,500 years by the Jews. They knew about them quite well. But here is a prophet saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not just any lamb. Indeed, he was the Lamb. So when he became the Lamb, he did away with the need for all those animal sacrifices. I believe water baptism portrays that, one of the two rituals that are left in the church age. Because we identify with his death and his burial and resurrection. I think it took away all those rituals, all those sacrifices, because as it says in Hebrews 10, the one sacrifice for sin has been made for all time. It's done. Don't need to stand there daily offering up sacrifices, because one sacrifice has been made. And I think water baptism is a perfect picture of that. But what about the feast? See, when he came, he was, and when he died, it was in conjunction with the feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Well, the first Advent feast, pointing out that Messiah would come and be a sacrifice, be a sacrificial lamb. And so, what happened to those? Well, I think the Lord's table took that place. Because the night before he was betrayed, he established a new ritual. And that's what we're doing today. He didn't want us to fight over it, argue over it, establish legalisms over it. I was thinking this morning, I have partaken of communion in so many different ways. Some with people pass out the bread. We used to pass out all the bread out of a big plate. and people take their bread out. Then we pass out the cups out of the communion cup servers. And we did all of that, and that's fine. He just says do it. He didn't tell us how. Then I've seen people, I remember a communion particularly, partook of in Sri Lanka. And there was probably 300 people there at this communion service. And they had a cup about this big around, about that tall, that had juice in it. And they passed it around. Now, in a foreign country, that's scary, quite honestly. It was kind of scary. But also, the reverence that was there with that was amazing. Because there was an amazing reverence. They took bread, loaf of bread, and they broke it. And that's how they spread that around. And that's how they did the communion. So the important thing is not the sequence, not the methodology you use, but that you get what it stands for. And that's what's important. And that you do it out of honor and reverence to Him. Now, what are the requirements for taking of the Lord's table? Real simple. We practice what's called an open communion. It's open to anyone who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How easy is that to believe in Him? Not easy in this culture anymore, for sure. But it's a real simple thing. He took our place on a cross. It says so according to the Scripture. He died, was buried, and He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And He literally appeared to over 500 people. He literally rose again. Not just His teachings, His philosophy, or anything else. Jesus physically, literally, rose from the dead. Now, if I want to have a life beyond this life, I want to trust somebody. Number one, it's perfect and qualified, which Jesus was. And I want to be able to trust somebody who's conquered sin and death, which He did. He says, there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, according to Philippians 2:10. Romans 14:11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Sadly, for some, it's going to be too late. But every person will know that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. The Lord's table is about taking us back to that time, almost 2,000 years ago. What did He do for me on the cross as a memorial? And what's He going to do one of these days as a prophecy? Keep on doing this until He comes again. The first order of business, though, according to 1 Corinthians 11, don't partake in an unworthy manner. It is a ritual. A ritual cannot save. No ritual can save. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't save. This one can't either. But it is something we're to do with reverence and respect. It says, don't partake in an unworthy manner, for this cause many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. So there's a warning that goes with partaking in an unworthy manner. Now, a worthy manner means that, first of all, you know, the only worthiness you have is because you're in Christ. Okay? That's an unworthy manner. It means that you're a believer, first of all. We're going to have just a moment for silent prayer. If you've come and have not accepted Christ as your Savior, there is no time like the present. Paul said today is the day of your salvation. You don't need to wait. I have story after story of people deciding they wouldn't make that commitment right then, and then they didn't make it till the next day, over and over again. He says today. So if you've come and not accepted Christ as your Savior, it's not hard. You've heard the gospel that He took your place on a cross. And all you have to do is tell the Father in your own words that you're accepting that for your salvation. You believe in Him. You're putting your eternity in His hands. In your own words, it doesn't need any action, activity, or anything else between you and Him. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows if the transaction is real or not real. And so if you come as an unbeliever or listening online as an unbeliever, now's the time. Join in and participate with us. If you've come as a believer. We've just been seeing passages about the last days, people living in sin and loving it, even Christians doing the same thing. That means the power of sin is running our lives, and that is a dead end street. That hurts. We'll never have any peace, never have any comfort. We'll look for it in all the wrong places. And so the Lord's table is a time to ask, am I headed in the wrong direction? Do I need to make some changes in my life? If you have sins that you're living in, you need to confess them. And then when you leave here, try to leave them alone. Leave them behind. Not do them anymore. If you do, confess it again. But then make that decision that you're going to follow the light, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, he who abides in my word will be my disciples, and he shall know the truth. And the truth is what will set him free. He said, I myself am the light of the world to the exclusion of all others. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He made a lot of crazy claims, didn't he? If he wouldn't have walked away from that tomb, then maybe we shouldn't listen to him. But because he did, we probably should. And we should want to be like him, to be transformed into the image of the Son of God. Because one day we're going to be transformed as believers into a new body that'll never die. That will be wonderful, won't it? So let's take this moment for just to go before the throne of grace in prayer. If you need to tell the Father you've accepted his Son, go ahead and do so. If you need to say, Father, I've messed things up, he says, I know. Make a decision that you want your life to better reflect him from here on, and leave with that attitude and heart and mind. That's a good day before Christmas, isn't it, to start? Let's pray. We thank you for your love. For it says, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that anyone that believes in him will not perish, but will possess everlasting life. Father, what a promise. Based on a simple condition of faith, as we know, faith is not about what I can believe, but about the value of what I believe in. So, Father, I pray if any have come and not accepted Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit will make the gospel very clear, and that the Holy Spirit will also indeed point them the way to faith. And Father, we pray for the rest of us. We all are in a growth stage. And Father, none of us have arrived. And as Paul said, I press on, forgetting what lies behind, looking forward to what lies ahead. May we have that attitude, that we want to find the things and make it our ambition to do that which is pleasing in your eyes. For we pray and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go ahead and take the bread out of this cup. Many of you have done this before and got started early, which is a good idea. The bread is a picture of his person. Now when we start thinking about his perfect person, where do we stop? John closed out the Gospel of John, and he says, I just wrote a few things, but if I tried to write them all, the world would not contain what I saw. Couldn't contain the books. So what John saw there in about 3.5 years, walking with the Savior, he said we couldn't write it all down. It's impossible to do. So I'm sure he thought back to the miracles. There are 6 of them recorded in the Gospel of John, and they're all amazing. And he says, I myself am, ego eimi in the Greek, which is the equivalent of Jehovah or Yahweh. He was telling them really clearly who he was and what he was there to do. And yet they rejected him. They turned him down. But this bread, in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the persecution, in spite of all the lies told against him, in spite of all that, he stayed perfect. We can't even imagine that, I don't think. If you and I think we could have got through that, unscathed, I think we're deceiving ourselves. But he did. Very clearly he got through. No sin, according to Peter, was found in him. He was indeed the perfect lamb to be sacrificed. He was observed for 3.5 years, just like the Passover lamb was observed for a week before it was offered as a sacrifice. And this bread is a picture of his perfect humanity, because he is God and man at the same time. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being by him, and nothing has come into being that has come into being except through him." So it tells you in John 1 really fast that Jesus is God. In John 1:14, the time of year we're celebrating right now, "And the Word," that's God, "became flesh," that's man, "and he dwelt among us. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Here is the God-man in perfect harmony, walking on this earth, as it says, tabernacling among us. That's what he was doing. He told people who he was. He says, "I'm the bread that came down out of heaven," like the Jews ate in the wilderness. And he said, and they died. "I'm going to tell you, I'm the real bread. You can partake of me, you're never going to die." Those are bold claims, aren't they? They're the statements of either a person who is what he says he is, or a lunatic. They're not the statements of a good man who can become God. They are statements either of truth or lie. And that's a decision everybody has to make. But what I find is the evidence stacks up and says they're statements of truth. And thus he is worthy of all of our honor. This little piece of bread is all about him. Who he is, what he did for us, is what the cup is about. So let's take just a moment for silent prayer and let each of us think about the man, Jesus Christ. You might want to think about a miracle that means a lot to you. Maybe he heals someone that you could identify with quite closely. Maybe he gave sight to the blind. He healed the lepers, threw out the demons. That's what he did as the God-man, being full of the Holy Spirit. So let's take this moment for just think about the man, Jesus Christ, and then we will bless it. Let's pray. I pray what was started this morning, we'll take it home with us and think about it some more. Father, we think about what your Son did. His kindness, his gentleness, his grace, his ability to speak the truth in love. And it says that he was full of grace and truth. Perfect combination. Something we all struggle with, because we tend to be too gracious or tend to not tell the truth. And Father, I pray that we will all get closer to being conformed to the image of your Son and being more like him. Because Father, that's what the world needs to see. More people in the body that are like him. So Father, I pray that as we partake of the bread, that again, his perfect person will have a renewed and a special meaning to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat all of it." The cup is quite interesting. Some people might be qualified to do some things and not do them. And what good is that? Sometimes we see that on a football field, where you have the best quarterback, best defensive back, best whoever it is, and then they don't perform. They don't carry it out. They know what to do. They know how to do it. They've been trained to do it, and they don't do it. But Jesus came, perfectly qualified, perfectly trained. He knew what he was there to do. He was born to die. And he told his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners, and they're going to crucify him. That is what is going to happen. And the disciples tried to say, no, we're not going to let that happen to you. Peter told him he wasn't going to let it happen to him. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You got your mind set on the things of man, not on the things of God. And this little cup is a picture of the work he did on the cross in our place. Now, what did he do on the cross? First of all, he was wrongly accused. Went through 6 trials. Accused him of blasphemy. How could he blaspheme God when he was God? Impossible to do. And yet they accused him of blasphemy. They tried to bring witnesses against him. They couldn't find 2 that could agree on anything. And yet they still passed him on in a convicted form from one tribunal to another tribunal. And Pilate tried to figure out some way to appease everybody because he knew the man was innocent. He knew he was innocent. What has this man done to you? And he said, I'll tell you what. It's my custom to release somebody on your feast time every year. And I've got this other guy named Barabbas who's a murderer, a killer, and everything else. And I've got Jesus. Which one do you want me to release? And we know what they said. Give us Barabbas. Give us this bad guy. Well, what am I going to do with Jesus? And the crowd that had just sang, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, within the last week stood up and said, crucify him with one voice. Now that's how evil, wicked, mean, and nasty we can all get if we're not careful. And so they led him out to be crucified. They scourged him to where the inch of it kills most men. The scourging does often kill the people before they ever get to the cross. And they scourged him. They took him to the cross. They put him on the cross. And then he started talking. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, that is a powerful statement for anyone to make who's been betrayed by his countrymen, by his friends, by the Romans, been mistreated and everything else. Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He took care of mom. He said, hey, woman, behold your son. He gave it to John because Jesus was the oldest of the family and it was his responsibility to care for parents. Daddy was already gone. So he took care of mom. He established that relationship. Then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? An answer was for you and I. 3 hours on the cross, the sky went dark. Some people portray it as just an eclipse. No, I think the sky went dark because that's the Greek words. That's what they described. It wasn't like it was some twilight. And I honestly have never seen an eclipse last 3 hours. Something supernatural happened. Did he stop the sun or did he stop the universe? What did he do? But in darkness, the Lord bore our sins in his body on a cross. Wow. Gave him privacy to do that. And then he said, I thirst. And they gave him some old lousy GI beer. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But before that, he said a word, one word in the Greek, sent shockwaves through hell, tetelestai. It is finished. What is he talking about? The payment for sins for you and me. Done. It's an accounting word that means paid in full. I'd like to see an accountant just get a rubber stamp and go tetelestai on these things whenever they're stamping stuff paid in full. That'd be kind of an interesting witness, wouldn't it? But that's what he said. Debts are paid right now. And then he committed his spirit to the Father and then said, And he breathed his last. He gave up the ghost. He died. Old devil thought he'd won, didn't he? Thought he'd won that one. And 3 days later, we know what happened. On the first day of the week, on a Sunday, his work was done, and he was raised from the dead. That's a powerful message. And this little bit of juice, it's amazing, it's designed to wrap all that up. His work on the cross, it's worthy of belief. So we're going to take just a minute to think about what he did for us in our place as a substitute on the cross that day. And then we'll partake of it together. Let us pray. By this amazing plan that you laid out in eternity past, and that you would send your Son, you become flesh, and that you would dwell among us, and Father, that you would provide for a problem we could never hope to solve on our own. Father, we just stand in awe. We stand amazed at your amazing plan and the fact that you'd want anything to do with us, much less for all of eternity. But you, in your gracious love, said that we could be part of it. And Father, we could never give you enough thanks for that. But Father, let us try and let it increase. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes back." And he drank it. Let us drink. And Father, we thank you for your blessings, for your test. We thank you for this ritual that points out the reality of what your Son did. May we ever remember it. In Jesus' name, amen. And they all sang a hymn. Please.